From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 97 and verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Causes for disquietude there are none, so long as this blessed sentence is true. On earth the Lord's power as readily controls the rage of the wicked as the rage of the sea. His love as easily refreshes the poor with mercy as the earth with showers. Majesty gleams in flashes of fire amid the tempest horrors, and the glory of the Lord is seen in its grandeur in the fall of empires and the crash of thrones. In all our conflicts and tribulations, we may behold the hand of the divine King. God is God. He sees and hears all our troubles, all our tears. Soul, forget not mid thy pains, God o'er all forever reigns. In hell, evil spirits own with misery his undoubted supremacy. When permitted to roam abroad, it is with a chain at their heel. The bit is in the mouth of Behemoth, and the hook in the jaws of Leviathan. Death's darts are under the Lord's lock, and the grave's prisons have divine power as their warder. The terrible vengeance of the judge of all the earth makes fiends cower down and tremble, even as dogs in the kennel fear the hunter's whip. Fear not death, nor Satan's thrusts. God defends who in him trusts. Soul, remember in thy pains, God o'er all forever reigns. In heaven none doubt the sovereignty of the King Eternal, but all fall on their faces to do him homage. Angels are his courtiers, the redeemed his favorites, and all delight to serve him day and night. May we soon reach the city of the great King. For this life's long night of sadness, he will give us peace and gladness. Soul, remember in thy pains, God o'er all forever reigns.
Thank you.
this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions, the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Dr. Cairns continues to examine the spirituality of God's law, he has shown that the law of God is spiritual in its searching of the soul. It deals with the innermost aspects of the human condition, the sinfulness of every soul in its motive, thoughts, and actions, showing the futility of mere external religion. Furthermore, God's law is spiritual in the scope of its statutes. Although the statements of the law are clear enough, there is more to what God requires than a simple list of do's and don'ts. For instance, behind each of the Ten Commandments lies a precept that covers a whole range of human action and thought. Again, God's law is spiritual in the strictness of its standards. What God requires is absolute and total obedience, something no man can do on his own. Then, the law is spiritual in the satisfaction of its sentence. God declares, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Is there a remedy for this dilemma? Yes, there is. It is found in the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now to continue this message, the spirituality of the law, here is Dr. Cairns.
When God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," or "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart," anything that incites you away from God comes under that command. Anything. You take what you watch on television. You take what you listen to in music. You take what you read in literature. And I don't care if it's a penny thriller or if it is one of the great works of art. Does it lead you Godward or sinward? And you'll know whether it comes under the prohibition of that first commandment or no. This takes in where you go, the kind of company you keep. And if I could touch a very delicate area, it has much to say with what you wear. You see, the Bible that says thou shalt not commit adultery says if thou shalt look with lust, that is adultery. Do you figure for a moment that the young woman who dresses immodestly or provocatively in order to be seen is not breaking that same commandment? Whatever incites to sin is itself sin. What we wear is not merely a matter of fashion. It is a matter of obedience to God. And remember that clothing was not invented by man. It was invented by God for the covering. And notice the word I'm using, for the covering of the body brought into shame by the existence of sin. And clothing is meant to be a covering, not an exposure. God's law affects every area of life. You remember what Proverbs 1 says in verse 10 and then verse 15, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. We can say that concerning every incitement to evil, every incitement to the breach of the law of God. If anything or anybody incites you toward breaking God's law, listen, walk not thou with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. This is the spirituality of the statute of God's law. The third thing I'll point out is that the law is spiritual in the stringency or strictness of its standards. In every area, the law of God knows only one standard: absolute perfection. It knows no compromise. Why? Because it reflects the absolute holiness of God. God's absolute holiness cannot accommodate itself to lower standards. God's holy law cannot lower the standard. There is no provision whatsoever in the being of God or in the law of God for lowering the standards of the strictness of God's law. Absolute, total, unblemished perfection or eternal destruction. Galatians 3:10, it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The Lord Jesus summarized this in Matthew 22. This is the standard of the law according to Christ. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment of the law. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What is the standard of God's law? Perfect, selfless love for God and man. That is the spirituality of the law in the strictness of its standards. But finally, the law is spiritual in the satisfaction of its sentence. Follow me carefully here, because here we reach to the depths of hell. But thank God, here we find the door to heaven. The law carries heavy sanctions and dreadful penalty. Sometimes the sanction of the law is immediate. Some man's sins are open before they get to the grave, and there is an immediate execution of the sanction of the law even before they reach eternity. Sometimes the sanction of the law comes in the form of human justice from the courts of the land. But whether these catch up with a man in this life or not, the law of God will execute its penalty in full. Hear that. There is no exception. There is not a sin in the history of this world but that the law of God will execute the penalty against it in full. That penalty is not merely temporal, but eternal. We have read tonight in Matthew 5, the Lord Jesus said, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." What is the sanction of the law? Exclusion from the kingdom of heaven. Verse 29:30, "If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee." Why? Why would a man go to such a terrible length? The Savior says, it's profitable for you to go through this life lacking a physical member than to be cast into hell. What is the sanction of the law? The whole man being cast into hell. Can that be the teaching of him whose name is love? It's a very solemn thing. If you take all that the Bible teaches on hell, the Lord Jesus spoke more of hell than all the other New Testament preachers put together. There's wisdom in that. Because while all Scripture is inspired, I think human nature would rebel against such an awful teaching, except in the lips of the God-man himself. What is the sanction of the law? Sometimes it is temporal. Sin finds people out in their body. It finds them out in their family. It finds them out often in their children. It finds them out in their business. It finds them out in broken lives and broken minds and broken hearts. But whether it does these things or no, it finds them out in the torments of a lost eternity. Hell is real. Hell is real. It's not the figment of some priestly imagination. It is the revelation of the God of truth. The law is spiritual in the sentence that it demands for its satisfaction. You know, if that were all the message of the law of God, it would be bleak indeed. And if you have felt something of the bleakness and the terror and the awfulness of the spirituality of God's law, I thank God for it. For it is a bleak and terrible truth unless you grasp one last theme here. There is an additional theme. The law declares its spirituality not only by executing an eternal justice on the sinner, but by receiving a vicarious or substitutionary obedience from Christ for all believers. The law is spiritual because it is, if I could personify it, it is willing to receive from Christ a perfect obedience, a perfect satisfaction, and make a gift of that to every believer. Galatians 3:13 puts it this way: Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. This morning we thought a little of the work of the cross. Here is the inner meaning of Calvary. On that center cross and the preternatural darkness of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ hung there a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. He had lived a life of perfect obedience to the precept of God's law, and now he dies a death to satisfy the penalty of that law. There in Calvary's darkness, Jehovah took the glittering sword of the justice of God's law and he thrust it into Christ. The Lord Jesus took the pain and the wrath and the alienation that was the sinner's due. He took all that the wrath of God could pour upon him, and in the words of one poet, in one almighty draught, he drank damnation dry. The law of God received from Christ a vicarious satisfaction for all believers. Paul puts it this way: by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. By Adam's fall, we were constituted sinners, and we have lived in sin, and we die in sin, and in Adam we must be damned in sin. But oh, here's the gospel. Even so, by the righteousness of one, namely Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. What a glorious gospel this is. Once again, as we have seen in the first couple of studies, the message of the law leads us to Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.